I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight. I don't know. Sometimes I have titles and sometimes I don't. But I want to talk tonight about the voice of God and the opposing voice. And so I guess what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about God's voice. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the opposing voice. And then I want to talk to you for a minute about your voice. How many of you know that all those voices make a big difference? And so I want to talk to us tonight about overcoming the voice of opposition in our lives. And so, but I want to start talking just for a minute about the importance of God's word. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes we need to stir ourselves up. How many of you know that we treasure things in our life that have great value to us? Things that we value, we treasure them. And so if I ask you tonight, if you treasured the jack that's in your car, you probably hadn't thought about the jack in your car recently, but I was checking to make sure there was one in my car when my son took it back to college the other day. How many of you know that we don't really value the jack till we need the jack? But as soon as you have a flat, you'll value that jack if it's there. But day to day, we usually don't treasure that because it doesn't carry an everyday value in our life. Or what about an umbrella? You usually don't think about an umbrella until it rains, right? So really, an umbrella is not something that we really treasure because it doesn't carry a lot of value in our life, just sporadically here and there. What about money? Do we treasure money? I would say probably of all the earthly things that there are to treasure, we probably value money because what? Almost everything in this world requires money, right? And to operate in this world. And so I guess the question that I'm getting to is, do we treasure the Word of God? Do we treasure the Word of God? See, the greater revelation that we have of the impact of God's Word in our lives and in our situations, the greater that we understand that it influences and it impacts every second of every minute of every hour of every day, how many of you know that we will begin to value it more and more? Do we treasure the Word of God? Do we understand how much worth this is to us? And let me read you a story because I think it kind of sets the stage for valuing the Word of God. Back in World War II, there was a woman who was probably one of the greatest, if you can call people saints, one of the greatest saints of this century by the name of Corrie ten Boom. And her sister, their family, they had protected Jews in their home, and they were taken into concentration camps, and they were being moved from one concentration camp to another called Ravensbrück, which was one of the most brutal. It's where her sister and another 100,000 women were killed during the Holocaust. And let me just read you this story. We're talking about the worth of the Word of God. How much do we actually value the Word of God, God's Word in our life? It says, still in all her months of confinement by the Nazis, Corrie had her Bible. But this comfort too seemed lost as they entered Ravensbrück, as they were changing camps. She and Betsy shuffled along in a line of prisoners being processed. First, the prisoners dropped their blankets and pillowcases into a pile. How it hurt to surrender those. Would they be replaced? One couldn't assume any decency from the Nazis, but that pain was nothing compared to the loss if she had to give up her Bible. For that would surely be discovered next. They had to strip and surrender their old prison clothes before taking a shower. Corrie had her Bible hidden in a pouch around her neck so the guards would surely see it. Not only would she lose the Bible, but she would get severely punished for having it. Oh, please, Jesus, she prayed, allow us to keep your precious word. Betsy, her sister, suddenly doubled over. Don't shoot, Corrie implored the guards in German. She has diarrhea. Well, don't let her do it here, he snarled in disgust. Get her in there. He pointed at the shower room. Corrie helped Betsy into the shower room, and lo and behold, it was empty. They must have been between groups. Corrie hid the pouch with the Bible behind a wooden bench crawling with roaches. Stacked at the other end of the shower room were the new prison clothes they were to wear. Then they returned to the line, shed their old clothes, and returned to the shower. After a blast of icy water, Corrie was dressed in new prison garb, plus one Bible hung around her neck. But she soon saw her problems were not over. Security was so tight at Ravensbrook, the guards were frisking prisoners after they left the shower as well. Oh, please, Jesus, give me another miracle. Hide your word with your angels. They marched slowly past the guards who searched every woman from head to toe with groping hands. Rude hands covered the woman in front of Corey. Rude hands covered Betsy, who was behind Corey. But no hands touched Corey. She was invisible to the guards. Perhaps coincidence could explain the first miracle. Betsy really did have diarrhea, but coincidence could not explain the second miracle. Corey was sure now that she was in the hands of the Lord. I'm going to say that people all over the world throughout history have been willing to give everything because they value this so much. They understood it wasn't a book that she was willing to surrender everything for. It was the living, powerful word of God. And so many times I undervalue what I have. How many of you know that the more we understand the treasure this is, the more we'll want it every day of our life? God's word has infinite, immeasurable, incomparable worth in our lives. And let me just mention a few reasons why it's so valuable to us. It's not things that you don't know, but the word of God has infinite worth because it is the source of truth. Everybody say truth. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word truth means what is true in any matter under consideration. What is true in any matter under consideration? Not what somebody says, not what the experts say, not what it looks like, but this is what is true in any matter under consideration. And what is true has the potential to change what is fact. How many of you know truth trumps fact? And when we apply our faith to the truth, this truth prevails over facts every time. Secondly, the word of God has infinite worth because it's the source of our faith. Everybody say faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mountains don't move unless we have faith. We have to have faith, and there is no faith without the word of God. So the Christian life doesn't work without the word of God. No, the next one is the word of God has infinite worth because it's the source of our life and power. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and it's powerful. Everybody say it's living and powerful. I don't know if you have one near you, but put this in your hands. This thing is alive. It's the only book that's ever been alive. It's alive. It is alive. It's a living document. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He and His Word are one. This is the living Word of God. This is living and powerful. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. The dead things in our life can't stay dead when we apply the living Word of God to them. Resurrection follows the Word of God. Marriages are resurrected. Prodigals are resurrected. Finances are resurrected. Health is resurrected. This is living and it's powerful. It's not like the jack in our car that we only want to go to when we have a flat. How many of you know there's not an area of our life that doesn't need the Word of God on it? It comes alive. It changes. The Word of God is of infinite worth because I'm skipping a bunch of notes because I don't have time. It's the source of our healing. He sent His and healed them. The centurion said, all you have to do, Jesus, is speak the, and my servant will be healed. And he was healed that very hour. Healing, emotional, mental, physical, relational healing comes from the Word of God. We struggle with all these other things and we put our hope in all these other things, and everything that we need comes from the Word of God. It shouldn't be a chore for us to get in this Word. It shouldn't be. What I don't mean it's not hard to do what's right, but you follow what I'm saying. We should hunger and thirst for this word. And the more we have a revelation of the impact that it plays and the purpose that it has in our life, the more we'll hunger for it. The word of God has an infinite worth because it's the source of our freedom. Everybody say freedom. We shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Every area of our life, every curse is broken through the word of God. Every bondage is broken through the word of God. Our freedom comes through the word of God. We could go all night about the things that come from the word of God, right? The word of God has infinite worth because it's the source of our victory. There is no victory without the word. But we can put the word of God on any situation that we encounter, and it will produce victory. 1 John 2:14 says, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. He didn't say you read the word every once in a while. He said, the word of God abides in you. And he says, and because of that, you have overcome the wicked one. We overcome because of the word. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of our testimony. And listen, our testimony is this. The word of our testimony. We overcome because we speak this right here. Amen. So the word of God is so important in our lives, in a believer's life. The word of God has infinite worth because it's unchanging. Everybody say it's unchanging. Seems like everything in the world is changing right now. But one thing that never changes, and that's God and his word. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Isn't it good to know you can go to something that's settled? In heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. Isaiah 40:8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands for how long? Ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So therefore, because this word is so valuable and so important in our lives, what we have to know is that word and that voice of God will always be met with opposition. Always be met with opposition. Because the enemy of our souls, who hates God and hates the kingdom of God and hates anything to do with his kingdom, is not interested at all in you and I having healing or victory or freedom or faith, right? Any of those things. And so what we have to always know is that the voice of God in our life will always be faced with a voice of opposition. There will always be two voices. You can eat from every tree of the garden. Every tree. That was a positive statement, right? You know, you can play with every toy in the toy box. Just don't touch this one over here. But what? The word of God was met with an opposing voice. And really, I'm not going to be able to get into it tonight. There's way too much there. But really, the strength of Satan's voice is its subtlety. And in the scripture, I may or may not get to because it's way down in my notes. The one that was in my heart was, you know, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And he said, I lead my sheep. They hear my voice. And they know my voice. And they follow my voice. And the voice of a stranger. Everybody say stranger. So how many voices are in that verse? There's two voices. There's the shepherd's voice and there's the stranger's voice. And it's always like that. No matter what we get from God, no matter what he says to us, there's always going to be his voice and there's always going to be a competing voice. There is a voice that will seek to neutralize the word of God in our life. It will always compete with the word of God in our lives. It says, the voice of a stranger we will not follow, according to what I learned this verse a long time ago. I was like 16. I come to prayer meetings early in the morning over here. The voice of a stranger, I'm going to hear Brother Stanley praying that prayer. The voice of a stranger I'll not follow or attend to in any way or wise. Okay? We'll not, because it says we don't recognize, because we don't follow his voice because we don't know or recognize his voice. Okay, because our ear isn't tuned to his voice. But the problem is, many times our ear is tuned to the enemy's voice. And what he has to say has been what we've listened to day after day after day for many years in different parts of our lives. And so his voice is a familiar voice, but it is an opposing voice to what the Lord has to say. See, it's a competing voice that will always arise. I thought about this, that word stranger. I don't know if y'all remember this. There was like a government campaign or something, a public service campaign that was called Stranger Danger. That's why I call this message tonight, Stranger Danger. How many of you know we need to be listening to the voice of for the voice of a stranger? We need to be listening for the voice of the enemy. My heart in this is just, if I don't get to any of my notes, is this, is we've got to be aware that there's always a competing voice. And we have to be able to identify and recognize the competing voice. Because our voice is going to align with one or the other. Our voice is going to either align with the voice of God or it's going to align with the voice of a stranger. And our voice plus the voice of God always equals victory. But our voice plus the voice of the stranger will always end in defeat. And what happens is many times we don't even realize that we're saying what the enemy is saying. See, there is a voice that we hear and follow, but there is another voice that we hear and we flee from. And so we have to be able to recognize and identify the voice of the enemy. And the more of the voice of God that we know, the more readily we will be able to recognize the voice of the enemy. Remember the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. I don't have time to go into it all. Jesus had to break it down for his disciples, right? Because they were like, we don't understand what you're talking about. And basically, he said this. He said, the sower sows the seed. Okay, the seed is the word of God. Right? Just remember the story. 25% of the seed fell by the wayside and the birds ate it up. We're talking about the word of God. 25% of the seed fell on stony ground and the sun burned it up. And another 25% of the seed fell among thorns and the thorns choked it up. I couldn't figure out another way to say up. So it choked it out, right? So that 75% of the word of God that came forward that the enemy stole. He neutralized it. He made it of none effect in those hearts. We do not want to be of that percentage in our life. We'd like to flip that percentage so that 75% of the word that falls on our heart produces 30, 60, and 100 fold in our lives. So we have to be aware of the fact that the enemy is always there looking to take from us what God is trying to give to us. In Matthew 13, 24 through 26, it says another parable right after that one, he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while the man slept, which he wasn't doing anything wrong. You know, it's okay to sleep, right? How many of you like sleep? You know? But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. What is that? An opposing voice. It's an opposing voice that comes to neutralize what it is that God gave us. The scripture in Hebrews 10:32, and you can take this verse with you this week and meditate on it. In Hebrews 10:32, it says this. But call to remembrance the former days in which, I don't know if we can bring this up or not, if there's anybody up there. I told them not to do any verses. Hebrews 10:32, if you got your Bibles. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, that was after the word of God came to you, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. So after the word was given to us by God, then there came a great fight of affliction. It happens every single time. You can mark it down. We get so excited, don't we? I mean, it is an exciting thing. I mean, the next best thing that the enemy can do besides choking it out or stealing it or burning it up. The only next best thing for him would be to keep us from it, period. Okay? But we get so excited when we get a word on our situation. But if you watch track, getting a word on your situation is like this. It's getting in the starting blocks. That's what it is. When we're illuminated and God gives us a word, it's the beginning. It is the very beginning. Then there starts the process. And the process, the first part of the process is the enemy's going to oppose that word. He's going to oppose it every time. And the thing about it is he's very subtle And many times we don't even realize maybe the thought processes that we have that come naturally, and we can begin to agree with what the enemy says, and we have to watch out. That word illuminated means this. It means to give light or to enlighten or bring to light or to render evident, to instruct, to inform, to teach, to give understanding. We have to have the word of God on our situation. But it says after you got that, then came the great fight. And so we shouldn't be surprised by it. We should be aware of it. The Bible says that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So if we're going to believe God for anything in our life, then as Pastor Jerry has been teaching us, having the mentality of a warrior is kind of like, we have to know that it's always going to be a fight. It's always going to be a fight. And usually it's not a quick fight. Usually it's a sustained fight, right? And this is something I wrote down. It's like, so when the enemy begins to speak, and I don't have time to get there, and I wanted to go to David, and I wanted us to begin to look at some of the characteristics of the voice of the enemy. Things like delay, the voice of delay. Things like the voice of discouragement. Okay? Things like that. But what happened was, somewhere along the way, as David had been told that he was going to be king, how many of you remember that day? It was a great day. David was anointed king, although nobody in his house considered him worthy, but he was anointed king. What did he have that day? He got God's word on the situation. He got God's word on his life. The rhema word of God came through the prophet and illuminated his moment and his future. The illumination came. And then what came right after that? A great fight of affliction. Okay? What even happened that day after David got the word of the Lord? Many times we get the word of the Lord, and what we wished would happen was we wished everything changed in a moment, kind of like you're rubbing a genie bottle, right? But it don't work that way. What happened after David was anointed with oil on that day to be the next king of Israel? What did he do? He had a normal day. He had to go back out to the field. He had to watch the sheep. And what do you think the voice of the enemy began to say to him on that day? What do you think he began to say? Well, I mean, that was kind of cool, but maybe the prophet missed it. You know, to begin with, nobody thought you should have been in the house. And you know, he anointed you with oil and he prayed over you and the heavens didn't open or anything. And look where you're at. You're out here on the side of a hill. You're tending to sheep. It's an opposing voice. There comes the great fight of affliction. And we have to be people that know that. How many know if we're prepared for what the battle is going to bring, then we can be ready for the battle. A great fight of affliction. The scripture there, I mean, that word great fight means, we used to use this word back in the 80s, mega, right? Which actually means million. But that word in the Greek, great, is actually mega. Something very, very big. A great fight. A very, very big fight. Like a megaphone to make a very big noise. Or you may order the mega value meal at McDonald's. The very, very big meal, right? How many of you know that there comes a very, very big fight? If we're going to take territory that belongs to the enemy. If we're going to take the promised land that God has given to us. There is a great fight of afflictions that we will have to endure. But how many of you know that if we stay with God's voice and if we stay with his word and we keep our ear tuned to what he has to say, how many of you know that victory is going to be ours? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a quiet lion, a roaring lion. That word roaring there means with a loud voice. He is persistent, is he not? Have you found him to be persistent? I was thinking about that and how Goliath represented the enemy there in the valley there as day in and day out. What did he do? He came out and he said the same things over and over and over. And it'd be like, you already got this, you know? I mean, nobody's doing anything, but the enemy is persistent, and he will speak into your situation, and he will speak into your situation, and he will speak into your situation. But how many of you know we put on the helmet of salvation, we take up the shield of faith, we take the sword of the Spirit, and we push back. And what happened was, in that process, as David got involved, what he did was he found his voice. How many of you know we got to find our voice? Not only identify the enemy's voice, but we've got to find our voice. And this is what I would say. We got to begin to do something I was taught not to do when I was young. My mom's here because she used to keep a little wooden dowel rod in the corner of every room of the house. And it was to be used. I love my mama very much. But I'd rather get whipped by my dad any day of the week. But don't talk back. But we got to learn a new paradigm in the kingdom. We got to talk back to the devil. And that's what David did in that moment. You know, he was kind of around the edges. You know, I mean, who does this guy think he is, defying the God of Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And what'll happen if somebody challenges him and all of this? But there came a moment in time where he said, I'm through talking about him and I'm fixing to talk to him. And I'm fixing to tell my enemy and the enemy of God how the cow is going to eat the cabbage. I'm going to find my voice and I'm going to begin to talk back to the devil. And I'm going to begin to tell him what God said. And I'm going to talk back and I'm going to talk louder than the devil. I'm going to talk louder and I'm going to talk longer. I'm going to outlast him, because if I don't faint, I'm going to reap. And I'm going to tell the devil who he's up against. And he ain't up against me and my little sling and my five smooth stones. But he's defying the God of Israel. And I'm going to begin to speak out of my mouth, because how many of you know you hear yourself different when you talk? You ever heard yourself on something else? You know, I never listen to myself on a CD or anything, because I think I'm a country hick. I'm going to listen to myself. But there's something about your spirit hearing yourself say it. Find your voice. The Bible says that if you'll speak to the mountain and tell it where to go, that you'll have what you say. It's more than just believing it. If we believe it and we speak to it. And so what the enemy does is the enemy speaks relentlessly in opposition to what God has said. And the way that we oppose that is we got to begin to find our voice. And when somebody asks us about what's going on, then we've got to repeat what God says about it. And when the thoughts begin to come, we got to open our mouth and we got to decree what God has said about it. And when our emotions are going upside down and inside out, we got to find us a corner where we can open our mouth and we can agree with God. And we can be like David. And he's in Goliath, I'm going to feed you to the birds. And David said, oh, no, you're not. Listen, this is how it's going to go down. God is going to whip you today. God is going to be victorious. How many of you know that as David began, see, he found his voice amongst the soldiers. And as he began to say, who is this guy? Who is he that he would defy the God of the armies of Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And guess what? King Saul heard him speaking, and it opened a door for him. Did it not? He said, go get him and bring him in. How many of you know that what we say opens doors and closes doors? And when we get out of agreement with the enemy and we get in agreement with God, doors are going to begin to open. And when those doors open, if we will step through them and we will line up with what it is that God has to say, how many of you know that we will begin to gain the victory in our lives? So we got to find our voice. We got to know that the enemy has a voice. But how many of you know the enemy is defeated? The enemy is defeated, but we have to enforce that victory that Jesus won on the cross. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to close out. The more we stay in this word right here, the quicker will be able to identify the voice of a stranger. The more we sit at the feet of Jesus and the more we listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more evident it becomes when the enemy speaks things into our lives. We got to get out of agreement with the voice of the enemy, and we got to get in agreement with the voice of God. We get in agreement with the voice of God, things will begin to shift. Things will begin to move. We begin to say what God says. Just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. I don't know what you're facing, but I guarantee you you're facing something. I know you are. I know everyone in this room is facing things. I know everyone in this room has probably got battles on multiple fronts. And I know the enemy's been talking. He's been just like Goliath, day in and day out. He comes out and he's telling you how it ain't going to work and how God, well, if it was going to work, it would have worked by now, and how that nothing's going to change and everything's going to stay the same. And does this really work for you? It works for everybody else. And it's time to identify where that voice is coming from and shut it off. And begin to speak out of our mouths what God says over our situation. And I don't know, you got to get a word from God. Any word out of this book is good. It's living and it's powerful and it's alive and it has resurrection power. But you just got to begin to get a word on your situation and get in agreement with God's word. No, shut up, devil. With God, all things are possible. And if you got to say that all day long, every day, and if that's the only word you've got, write it on your wrist, whatever. No, devil, with God, all things are possible. Thanks be unto God who always gives me the victory through Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how many times I've failed, that if God is for me, who or what can be against me? And we got to begin to agree with the word of God. Let me close with this if I can find it right here. Here it is right here. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word two-edged, it's two Greek words together. It's diastomos. And what that actually means is two-mouthed. It's a two-mouthed sword. See, one edge of the sword is when it comes out of God's mouth. And the other edge of that sword is when it comes out of our mouth. See, it's a two-mouthed sword. And when we put our mouth in agreement with what God is speaking, how many of you know the devil can't stand against it? So, Father, tonight, we come in agreement with what you have to say. We pick up that sword of the Spirit. And God, I personally, God, I repent, God, for every time, God, that I've come in agreement, God, with the voice of opposition to your word. God, every time I've made alliances with doubt and fear and unbelief, God, and anxiety and worry in my life, God, I repent of it and I cut off those alliances in Jesus' name. I align myself with the truth of your word and I treasure your word and I value your word. God, our hope is in your word. Your word, oh God, is forever settled in heaven. So, Father, tonight I pray. Just ask the Lord right now. Maybe you got a word and that word needs to come out of your mouth. Maybe you don't really have a rhema word on your situation and an alive and living word. You just ask the Holy Spirit to give you one. And I just believe in the next 24 hours that the Holy Spirit is going to cause and birth a word to come alive in your heart that's going to be a resurrecting, life-giving, transforming, mountain-moving word that you better start giving voice to. And if you will, the mountain's going to move in Jesus' name. Lord, let your word be confirmed. God, do what you said you will do, God. God, we long for your presence in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.